Well, good morning, Potters. Hope all is well. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my home, and we are continuing our Sunday morning Bible study in the book of Matthew. So if you have your Bible ready, why don't you open to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 46, and we will begin our study of the hidden treasure and the pearl. So Jesus had finished explaining the meaning of the parable of the wheat and the tares prior to this, and these two short parables are kind of a continuance of the discussion that he has with regard to this question of the kingdom of heaven is like, or I guess it's the answer. But he expresses the, you know, truth about the kingdom in three pairs of parables. The first one is the seed and the sower and the weeds in the field, and that's one pair. Then the mustard seed and the leaven, that's another pair. And then now the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. So let's begin reading in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 46. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all that he had bought, all that he had, and bought the field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found the one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it." Father, we pray blessing upon your word this morning as we study. We ask, God, that you open our eyes to see what your Spirit is doing in the church and open our ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our motivation this morning, we are here to study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth, and that is you, and that is me. And that is our motivation. So let's go on to some observations. So the kingdom of heaven is obviously something that cannot be stolen. We know that, right? Because this is something that these men, in both situations, they had to give up something to get it. It just wasn't something that they could take, right? There was a price that had to be paid for it. So this parable, we can assume that the kingdom of heaven can be purchased, but it really can't in terms of the money. It can't be purchased with money, but it can be purchased with us surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ. And I think that's the distinction that we need to make here. There is no amount of money that we can set aside for eternal life. It just is not going to happen. What God wants is our heart. He doesn't care, about us buying our way into heaven. We can't. There's one way, the Bible says. Jesus is the gate. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that is the only way. So what is the value of eternal life? The kingdom of heaven is hidden, right? In both of these things, in both of these parables, one was this treasure hidden in a field, and the second one is this merchant going on a search for the perfect pearl, and both of them were not easy to find. Well, that goes right back to what Jesus said about the narrow road and the broad road, right? The narrow road, few find it. But the broad road, everybody is on that wide road, walking, thinking that everything is great, when in reality it's not. If we find ourselves on a wide road, we're in big trouble because Jesus said, few find the narrow road. That means it can't be heavily populated. That means it's thin. Sometimes it's a little path, right? It's hidden from the wisdom of this world, but revealed to the simple. So the treasure, was not purchased. The field was purchased. The treasure was found. That's an important fact here. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking after the finest. So the similarities are both men found something great, and both men gave up everything to possess it. And I think that's something that we need to understand, that when we follow Jesus Christ, we need to give up everything. And as we go through this teaching this morning, it's not heavy, but the heavy fact that I'm going to leave you with at the end of this is, have you given up everything? Have you sold, in other words, have you given up every area of your life, or have you decided to keep some back for yourself? So the first thing in interpreting this is the purchase, right? So the similarities of these two short parables make it very clear that it's the same lesson. The kingdom of heaven has endless value, right? The treasure had endless value, and so did the pearl. Both parables involve this man who sold everything that he had to possess the kingdom. And I want you to pay close attention here, because the treasure and the pearl represent Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers. And while we can't pay for salvation by selling our worldly goods, once we find this thing, are we willing to give up everything to possess it? I'll ask you again, think about that. Are you willing, and have we given up everything to possess it? I think one of the problems with our walk is when we don't do that. I think one of the problems that we have in the United States is we want salvation. We just don't want to pay the price for it. And the price is not something that we can shell out in money. Remember, the young man that came to Jesus said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he looked at him, he said, "Go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me." Have we given up everything to possess it? But what is attained attained in exchange is so much more valuable than it's comparable to, or trading like an ounce of our trash for a ton of diamonds. That's the thing that we really need to understand here. When we give up everything, we've really given up nothing, because all we have is a righteousness that is a filthy rag. But what we get is so much more than what we give. But God demands the same from every single person. There's not one of you that's going to be able to negotiate a different deal. Every single one of us has to give up everything to follow Jesus. And I think our biggest struggle in Christianity comes when we begin to negotiate with God the very things that we want to give up and the things that we want to keep. We're in big trouble. Those who do that, they dance on the same dance floor as those that are saved, but that's all they do. They're with people that are saved, but they're not saved, because they've decided they're going to negotiate the terms of a deal that says that Jesus said was non-negotiable. So number two, these men valued what others did not. In both parables, the treasures are hidden, indicating that there's a spiritual truth that's missed. There's a lot of people that walk by that field. There's a lot of people that probably saw that pearl and thought it was just another pearl, but it wasn't. Spiritual truth is missed by many and cannot be found by intelligence or power or worldly wisdom, period. In both of these parables, we see this. So in Matthew chapter 13, 11 through 17, and in 1 Corinthians, they make it clear that the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are hidden to those who are unable to hear, unable to see, and unable to comprehend these truths. The Bible says the poor heard Jesus gladly. The disobedient reap the natural consequences of their unbelief. They're spiritually blind. You look at our world right now, and there's a tremendous amount of spiritual blindness. And going to church does not mean that you have received sight. It just means that you're around other people who have received their sight. Spiritual blindness is this idea that we can negotiate with God and not give up the everything that he requires. Those whose eyes are opened by the Spirit, you know, they discern spiritual truth, and they, like other men in the parable, understand its great value. But the spiritual blindness that we encounter, the spiritual blindness that we engage in, it keeps us from understanding not only the value, but the cost. Getting back to that young man who came to Jesus, who was very wealthy, after Jesus told him to sell everything, he walked away and he was sad. He was sad because his wealth was more important to him than eternal life. And that's true in this world today. Think about what's important to us. Think about the things that we give our time to. Think about the things that we do in this world. One of the things that God has really shown me lately over this last year is how much I would have kept myself, my heart, my mind, my spirit from going into dark places if I would have done what the Bible said to do in the first place. And that is, every single concern, right, goes to God. Make all your requests known to him. Don't argue about politics. Don't argue about COVID. Don't argue about masks. Don't argue about the government. It does no good. If you have an issue, a request, you make it known to the Father. And in turn, he changes your heart, or he'll change the situation, or he'll give you the spiritual eyes to see. But the spiritual blindness part is just walking in this cloud that we've been in for the last year. I think a lot of us have struggled in and out of that. Once we have Jesus Christ, the value is so great, guys, that we want to hold on to it, and we're not willing to share it with the world in terms of, yes, we want to share it with the lost, but we're not willing to share it half of our heart with the world and half with this great treasure. We want the treasure to consume us. That's the value of following Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to take a long look and ask yourself. Remember, guys, there's that day coming when we will stand before the Lord. And we're going to give our case. We're going to make our case. That part of this scripture is coming up in the next few weeks. Where we will go before God and say, you know, these are the things I did because I knew you. And like that story in the scripture, you know, there are those that are going to hear, I never knew you. All you did was stuff for me, but you never gave everything to follow me. You never sold everything that you had. And now that doesn't mean that you need to do that. I'm not, when you go to God, you don't have to put your house up for sale and, you know, walk away from everything. But you need to look at those things as garbage compared to knowing Him. Knowing Him is the most important thing. So this morning, let's apply this. And number one is when we find Jesus, our search is over. And you know you found Him because your search is over. You stopped looking. And that's why, you know, it's so difficult for me when, you know, if I found Jesus, my search is over, then why am I looking for other things to satisfy me in my time of need? Why are people addicted after they get saved? Why are people struggling after they get saved? Did we really find the pearl of greatest price? Did we really find the treasure? Because if we did, we wouldn't be struggling with these things. Well, let's balance that, because the scripture says that we're gonna sin after we get saved. Because we knew that because God made a provision for it. It's not something that we walk in. We walk in the newness of life. We walk in that treasure. We walk in that pearl of greatest price. We walk in that value, right? Notice that the merchant stopped seeking after pearls when he found the pearl of greatest price. He just stopped. His search was over. Eternal life, you know, the incorruptible inheritance and the love of God that we have through Christ Jesus is the pearl that we find, and it makes searching unnecessary. The search is over. Number two is the prize that keeps giving. So Christ, you know, when we find this pearl of greatest price and we find the treasure, there are five things, and there are probably 500 things, but these are just five things that we see. He fulfills our greatest need, number one. Number two, He satisfies our longing. Number three, He makes us whole and clean before God. And number four, He calms the quiet and quiets our hearts. And number five, He gives us hope for the future. That's the prize that keeps giving. Now, the great price we never paid, right? The great price we never paid, of course, is the price that Jesus paid for our redemption. And what did He do? He emptied Himself on our behalf. He emptied Himself of His glory for us. He came to earth in the form of a lowly man. And He shed His precious blood on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. I'm a fan of hymns, although as a worship leader, I don't do them enough as I would like to. But one of my favorite hymns is Jesus Paid It All. I won't sing it for you here. Maybe one day I'll bring my guitar and go through some of these songs. But I just want to read to you the lyrics. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find me in thine all in all. Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, and He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find Thy power and Thine alone. Came and changed the leopard spots, and it melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand incomplete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. He certainly did, didn't he? I want to pray for you this morning. Those who do not know Jesus Christ, you have this opportunity. You have found, by listening to this message, you have found the pearl of greatest price. You have found the treasure. Are you willing to give it all away? The Bible says in giving it all away, the next step you need to take is to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. You will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. You'll be given the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. You'll be changed from the inside out. If you've made that your prayer today, find the phone number on our website and give us a call and let us know so that we may rejoice with you. Find a good Bible-believing church and begin fellowshipping with other believers. That's important. If you listen regularly, you know what I'm about to say. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. I pray that you do that today. God bless. We'll see you next week.